Hello and welcome to Unashamedly Human, the podcast. This is episode 16. I am your host, Emily Chadbourne, and I am going to be really honest. This is being recorded at, it is now 8:16 p.m. It was meant to be edited and with my VA by 5 p.m. That was 3 hours and 16 minutes ago. And it's probably going to be a bit late hitting the airwaves this week, and I'll tell you why. I got a puppy. Yeah. I've been thinking about getting a puppy for a really long time, and it wasn't something I took lightly. I don't think you should take custody of another sentient being without really genuinely giving it thought and consideration and, like, asking yourself, am I willing to sacrifice? Am I willing to rise up to the challenge? Am I willing to put the time, the dedication, the energy into this other being? Like, am I willing, really? And I think if people ask themselves those questions more, especially when it came to actually having children, maybe, just maybe, the world would be a less populated, sure, but nicer place. Anyway, decided I probably am not going to have children, so thought, right, why not get a puppy? I've thought about it for months. I've researched it. I did my due diligence around it. Had really honest conversations with my boyfriend around what it would look like if we took on a puppy. And then I got a puppy. His name is Theodore. And he looks like a teddy bear. He is divine. And you should follow him on Instagram. I wasn't going to do it. I was not going to be one of those people. I was like sneering at the people who have Instagram accounts for their pets. I was like, oh my God, that's never gonna be me. And then I got him and I was like, oh my God, he needs his own Instagram account, guys. Anyway, it's hilarious. It is taken from his point of view, so his internal dialogue that in my mind is how he talks. Now, obviously, he's a dog, he's not a human, but in my mind, he just like has this very sarcastic take on life and on me and my partner, and he's just kind of ridiculing us as he potters along trying to work out what the world is all about. And so it's kind of written from that narrative. It's hilarious, even if I do say so myself. And heaps of really cute pictures of Theodore doing ridiculous things, wearing ridiculous clothes, because I'm a huge believer that animals dressed as humans is the best thing ever. You can follow him, Theodore's with an S, underscore friend beasts. Theodore's underscore friend beasts, which is what he calls us in my mind. But there are some things that having Theodore has taught me. We've only been his human custodians for a few days and already, like, I'm knackered. Like, I haven't, seriously, this is why I'm doing this podcast so late in the day and feeling a bit flustered. And, like, it is time consuming, man. If you are one of those people who thinks that having a puppy is just a cute little hobby to have, like, oh, he'll be cute, he'll just fit in with my life, he'll just, like, sit in my handbag. That's not true. Puppies are mental. He eats everything. He is like hyperactive, or he's asleep, or he's shitting, or he's eating, or he's crying, or like he is mental. So it's like, it's been a shock. I'm going to be really honest. I thought I knew what I was in for. And then Theodore arrived and I realized I didn't have a fucking clue. Anyway, I just want to share some things that I've kind of like learnt in a kind of little life lesson way over the last few days from having Theodore in my life. And the first is that there are some things that you can't prepare for. And whether it is getting a puppy, whether it's having a baby, whether it is being in business for yourself, whether it is building your own house, like you have an image of how you think it's going to go. And you can kind of like using your imagination and your visualization, you can maybe think, oh yeah, I can imagine it might feel a bit like that. Or when I watched that movie, it looked like it should be like that. Or my mom said it was going to be like that. But actually until you're in it, you just like, fuck me. Like you cannot prepare yourself for it. I was underprepared for how much time and energy and space this tiny little puppy would take up in my life. And I feel the same about my business as well. Like when I started out in business for myself, I was so naive. about what that would entail. Like, you just don't know until you're in it. You don't know how it's going to feel standing on stage in front of a few hundred people to deliver that keynote until you're actually on the stage. You don't know how it's going to feel to be in business for yourself until you are solely responsible for every department that you alone run. And you don't know what it's going to feel like to bring another being into your household and to be its custodian and to look after it and to love it and to discipline it and to train it and to clear up its shit. Like, what the fuck, man? Yeah, there are some things in life that you just cannot prepare for. And all you can do is ask yourself, am I willing to go on the journey of not knowing what it's going to be like? Am I willing to say yes to the ultimate dream, even though part of getting there is going to be a slightly rough terrain? You know, am I really willing? So yeah, there are things that you can't prepare for, puppies being one of them. Number two, it's not always about you. What do I mean by this? So Theodore, the dog, is a little bit of an asshole. To begin with, I thought, oh, he's just being a puppy. But no, he's not. He's an actual asshole. So I went and took him to the vet today, and then I was speaking to a friend of mine, Michelle Coglio. I'll actually link her in, because she's a brilliant dog trainer. She runs puppy schools and a dog center and everything. She's helped me so much today, because Theodore is a very mouthy, bitey little pup. And I know all puppies bite. I know they all love a chew, but this is like fucking next level shit, man. This dog is like quite literally terrorizing me and the household. And you know, I'm all about positive reinforcement and ignoring the bad behavior, but when this dog is like chowing down on your ankle, it's really hard to find anything positive to reward him for, and it's really quite hard to ignore because it fucking hurts, man. Those little teeth are like nah, 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 nah. And today I had this, and I see this happen all the time. YouTube is brilliant and the internet is fantastic and there is so much information out there and it is all free and you can find out anything. But just because you can find out anything doesn't mean that everything is real or the truth or relative to your specific situation. And so I was sort of Googling, you know, why does my puppy bite me, why is my puppy so hyperactive, like asking the internet, right? If you don't know the answer, find somebody who has the answer and ask them. But sometimes asking the internet isn't necessarily the way to go, because I was sort of watching all these videos and these experts and inverted commas sort of saying that, you know, if your puppy is biting you, it's because he doesn't feel like you're in charge, you haven't asserted your authority, your puppy doesn't feel secure around you, your puppy doesn't feel safe around you. And so I'm like having this freak out today at home by myself, like, oh my God, Theodore doesn't feel safe around me, I'm failing as an owner. Oh my, like this full existential crisis. Seriously, it was like, I cried three times today because I had convinced myself via YouTube that Theodore the dog didn't feel safe around me and doesn't love me because he was biting at my ankles and growling a bit. And it wasn't until I spoke to my lovely friend Michelle and the vet, actually the vet was really amazing as well. I didn't take the dog to the vet because he was biting and growling. I took the dog to the vet because I was worried about the consistency of his shit, if I'm going to be completely honest. He did not enjoy a thermometer being rammed up his butthole, just so we know. Things that Theodore does not like. Anyway, then I spoke to the vet, and then I spoke about his behaviour. I just sort of mentioned it on the way out. She was really reassuring. But then I had this really lovely chat with my mate Michelle, and she was like, you know, this isn't actually about you. Like, not everything is about you, Em. And I was like, oh, really? That's ridiculous. Of course everything is about me. 7.7 billion people on this planet. Surely I'm the only one that matters. But apparently that's not the case. Apparently, actually, in this particular instance, what the dog is doing is playing and working out what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. And he doesn't right now have much of an opinion about what he's biting or why he's biting it. And, you know, I think there's a real life lesson in that for me. It's so easy to get caught up in other people's reactions to me, and I make them about me. And sometimes their reaction isn't even to me, but I still make it about me. You know, if like someone rolls their eyes around me, I'm like, oh my God, is that person rolling their eyes at me? Oh my God, am I being judged? Oh my God, what have I done wrong to this complete stranger who I've never met before? Oh my God. And like on goes the kind of like internal dialogue, which eventually ends up with me being a worthless piece of shit who doesn't deserve space on the planet. And it's such a waste of my time and my energy. And, you know, just it really kind of brought that back to me, how many of us are out there making life solely about them. You know, if someone doesn't reply to a text message, if someone gets ghosted, if someone looks at us the wrong way or gets spoken to in a manner that we don't like, you know, immediately it becomes about us. And sometimes it's just not. Sometimes the person, or the dog in this case, the dog's behavior is just what the dog is doing in that particular moment. It isn't actually a personal attack on me. The third thing that I have learned in the short time that I have been a dog owner of Theodore is that failure is A, in my head most of the time, and B, is so often an action and not an identity. And what I mean by this is I felt like a real failure today. Like personally, I felt like my soul, my being, the essence that is Emily Chadbourne in this particular incarnation was a failure because I had a dog that only at 8 weeks and 3 days was just like literally bouncing off the walls today. And I thought, my God, this is a reflection of my poor animal management and my inability to be able to be a grown up and take responsibility. And I knew I shouldn't have got a dog, and the dog hates me, and the dog's biting, and he's going to be a savage. Oh my God. And I felt I was making this mean that I, me personally, was a complete failure. And it wasn't again until I spoke to my lovely mate, Michelle. And she was like, the action that you are doing might not be getting you the result that you want in terms of creating a boundary for your animal or teaching your animal what is or is not appropriate behavior in your house. But that is the action that you are taking. That is not the person that you are. So if you ignoring the dog isn't working and he needs a firmer, no, we don't do that behavior in this house, then that is the action that is or is not working. It's not you as a person. You are not the failure. It's whether or not this particular action or this particular boundary, or the way you're enforcing that boundary rather, is working for this particular dog in this particular context. And again, this sort of had me thinking, like the amount of times that I will say to myself, I am a failure, whereas actually I am not the failure. The marketing campaign that I produced might not have gone the way that I expected it to go, might not have harvested the result that I was anticipating. That doesn't make me a failure. The project might have failed, but I myself am not a failure. And when I begin to monitor that and really live in the distinction of that, I find that I have got more ability to take more chances because I'm never going to fail. The action that I take might not work out. And it kind of reminded me of something I heard Brené Brown say once. It's sort of the distinction, or the difference, if you like, between guilt and shame. So shame is, I am intrinsically bad. I did a bad thing because I am a bad person. Whereas guilt is, I did a bad thing. I behaved in a bad way, but that doesn't make me intrinsically a bad person. And I think the example that she used, and I'm just going to borrow it from her because it's the perfect example because she's Brené Brown and she is perfect. What? Was, you know, if you go to work on a Friday morning with a really dirty hangover because you went out on Thursday night and you miss a really important meeting on Friday morning, shame around that is, I'm a bad person because I did that thing, and therefore I am a bad human for going out on Thursday night. Guilt is, oh God, that was a really fucking stupid thing that I did. And so it's sort of that distinction, I think, that is really empowering. If you want to be one of those people that takes chances, that takes massive action towards their dreams, towards the ultimate version of themselves, you are going to have to make that distinction between the thing that I did not work out, or I am a terrible failure of a human being. Because the feeling that you will have on the back end of that thought will make a massive difference to how quickly you get back up, regroup, and try again. If I am a failure, me personally, if I am a failure, then there is nowhere else for me to go. If the command that I am giving Theodore the dog isn't working, then I have got lots of other options that I can try, because it is the command that's not working. The command is failing, not me. If I'm failing, I'm fucked. So that was the third lesson that I have learned this week from Theodore the dog. Number four, consistency, patience, and hard work make results. I see a lot of people in business. I've been in business myself for almost 5 years now, and I have seen many contemporaries who have overshot me and who are making seven figures, eight figures, a couple of them, and good on them. It's awesome. It's amazing to see them rise. In the way I'm choosing to see it is that not that they are better or worse, or I am worse than them. Sorry, not that they are better than me or that I am worse than them. Just that they are paving the way. They are showing me what is possible if I'm willing to take the action that they have taken, if I am willing to do the amount of work that they have done, and if I'm willing to move through whatever they've had to move through in their own sort of context to get to where they are. But I've also seen a lot of people who have kind of dropped off the radar and who have been really inconsistent in the action that they've taken and the patience that they've had. It's like, well, I'm not a millionaire. I didn't make seven figures in a year. So where's the point? This isn't working. Or I'm never going to be as good as that person because, you know, look how far they've come and look how long it's taking me. And that's not the way the world works. Everyone's on their own trajectory. Everyone's on their own journey. God, I hate that. I'm on my own journey, man. But it is true. Everyone's going at their own speed and their own gear with their own shit, their own baggage, their own fucking puppies hanging off their heels. And so, you know, you just have to focus on your lane. You have to focus on your race, and you have to move towards your dreams. Whatever that might not be a business goal. It might not be a financial goal. It might not be a material wealth goal. It might be, you know, a loving connection to self or to other. It might be health goal. It might be, you know, a goal around leadership and parenting or puppy owning, whatever it might be. You have to be consistent, you have to be patient, and you have to work hard, and your result will come. And what I learned today was, you know, there is no quick fix to stop a puppy from biting, and this is going to be, you know, the next few months of my life of consistently training this dog. This is appropriate behavior, this is not appropriate behavior, and I'm going to have to do that with patience, and I'm going to have to give him the same boundary over and over and over and over again, because he's a puppy and it's going to take him more than once to learn something. And again, like, I just see in my clients, I see it in the market that I speak to, I see it walking down the street. You know, people want the quick fix pill. They're not willing to put in the hard work consistently and be patient while they become the person that they need to become in order to manifest their dreams. So yeah, thanks for that little reminder, Theodore. Consistency and patience. Oh, I ran out of patience about 4 o'clock today and cried. Anyway, because that happens, because I'm human. And then number five is that you can feel all the feels, and sometimes you can feel opposing feels at the same time. So at around 4 o'clock this afternoon, when I was tired and Theodore was tired and he wouldn't stop biting my ankles, and I cried, I looked at him, and I swear to God, don't call the RSPCA on me. Obviously, I'm not going to punch a puppy, but there was a bit of me that wanted to punch him in the face. Like, he just wouldn't stop, and I wanted to get my fist and smack him in the head a little bit. Obviously, I'm not going to punch a puppy. Clearly, I'm not going to act on it. But yeah, I was a bit like, oh God, like, just stop, just be quiet, just sit down, go to sleep, stop pooing on the floor, stop making the noise, stop biting at my ankles, stop slobbering everywhere. And at the same time, I looked at his little face. Please go and check him out on Instagram. You don't even need to follow him, but just find him so that you can see his little face, because he's so cute. And I just looked at his little face and I was like, oh my God, you are the best thing in the whole world that has ever happened to me. And I have so much love for you. I don't know what to do with it. But that happened at the same time as wanting to punch him. And I think as human beings, we're such complex beings emotionally, and yet we're very simple at the same time. But I think we overcomplicate what is very simple in life a lot of the time. And the reality is, because of the law of the paradox, which the entire universe operates under, it's like the law of polarity, where there is up, there must be down, where there is hot, there must be cold, where there is love, there must be hate, right? We live in the yin and the yang of the universe. There is always a negative and there is always a positive. One cannot exist without the other. And the reality of the situation is, I can love this little puppy dog and want to strangle him. I can absolutely adore my boyfriend, but also look at him sometimes and be like, shut the fuck up. Oh God, I hope he doesn't listen to my podcast, real good. I'm allowed to be in grief for my mum dying, but still really enjoy my life. And that was a massive one for me. I think for a really long time, I felt guilty whenever I felt happy, because I felt like, well, my mum just died, so I should be really, really, really sad. I'm not allowed to be happy. And it was a really tough time for me with that kind of thought predominantly in my head, because I was also falling in love at the same time. And so it's such strong opposing feelings. I was actually speaking to a client about this recently, and she was saying that, you know, her son was born at the same time that her father died. And, you know, so it's that kind of like, how can I be so happy and so sad at the same time? How can I be in love so much with something, but also at the same time want to kill it? You know, how can I be feeling so abundant and affluent in my life whilst also feeling in lack? And this is the law of the paradox. And it's not about demonizing a feeling. It's not about saying, well, I should be feeling this right now. You are completely and totally and utterly meant to feel the full spectrum of human emotion, and you are capable of feeling opposite ends of that human emotion in tandem. And I think the more that we allow ourselves just to be the emotional state that we are in, the less resistance we put up against some of the emotions that we're told we shouldn't have, or are bad, or are hard, or are not good, or are not appropriate. You know, the more that we put our resistance up to those feelings, the more shame we feel about those feelings. It's like you put yourself in the shame spiral. Well, now I feel shame for feeling shame, or I feel guilty for feeling happy, or, you know, and it's a waste, again, a waste of time and energy and emotion. It's okay to be in the paradox of feeling, because it's not meant to be. You know, emotions don't come in a singular form. Quite often they pair up with each other and they deliver themselves in this sort of weird polarity state. Polarity state, is that a thing? Oh, I think I've just made that a thing. The polarity state of emotion. Anyway, those are the five lessons, little life lessons that I've learned from having Theodore for all of, I don't know, what, 5 days has this little thing been in my life. Number one, there are things that you cannot prepare for. Sometimes you just have to say yes, take the plunge, and trust yourself that you will pull through. Number two, it's not always about you. Funnily enough, my dog is not thinking about Emily Chadbourne all of the time. Crazy, I know. Number three, failure is A, mostly in your head, and B, it's an action, it is not an identity. And the more and more and more you can come to terms with this, the more you can reassure yourself of this, the more you reaffirm this to yourself, the action did not work, but I myself am not a failure, the more you will be able to get back up and try again. Number four, consistency, patience, and hard work will always equal the result. The result does not come without those things, in my experience. And number five, you can feel opposing emotions at the same time, like loving your puppy whilst also wanting to strangle it. Just a reminder that I love my puppy and do not want him to die. Will not be physically abusing my puppy. Just so we all know, don't need the feedback on that one. As I said, do follow Theodore, because he is delightful and funny and sarcastic and everything that you would imagine my dog to be. # bit of a dick. Theodore's _friendbeasts. Check him out on Instagram. Thank you. Oh, while you're on Instagram, you may as well check me out as well. Emily _ that crazy thing called life. Please feel free to join my free Facebook group, That Crazy Thing Called Life, because there are almost daily videos. I didn't do one today because I was crying over a dog, but almost daily videos in there about all things life and being unashamedly human and the journey that we are all on to find ourselves, to connect with each other, and to hopefully make the world a nicer place. Thank you all very much for listening. Please, 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 if you've loved this episode, share it. Please rate and review this episode over on iTunes and use the hashtag #unashamedlyhuman on social media to share this episode via Spotify. Thank you all very much for listening. I think that's the second time I've said that, but I'm saying it again anyway.